So tonight, we're going to talk about just being an encourager and not being discouraged. And next week, we're going to talk about strife. So let me give you, without using specific names, a little scenario to bring you into how I learn. One thing I was talking to Nicole or someone, every single thing I teach, honest to goodness, I learn it. It's like either I'm going through it or somebody I know is going through it, and I seek the Lord and I'm like, give me answers. And so thank you all for having so many issues and problems that I could teach hundreds and hundreds of hours to help people get free. And so when the time comes to go on more radio stations, we have tons of information. So I was talking to someone, and this person has a very pessimistic outlook. And I don't know that they've always had that, but I mean, I would look at something and go, oh, like for if I came in here, I would look and say, oh, these colors are so nice. But a person with pessimism, which sees everything through a negative way, they would look and say, oh, you know, this is getting kind of dingy. You need to paint this. You could be looking at the exact same thing. And someone who comes from seeing things pessimistically, which is a spirit, is going to always see what's wrong. Think about that. Some of you probably have that. What a horrible way to go through life, always seeing what's wrong. I'm not talking about being delusional and not really recognizing that there's issues and problems and where we are in time and all that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about seeing everything through what's wrong. And so we're going to look at some scripture that tells you not to do that and why not to do that. But I started asking the Lord, because I noticed when I would say something into the situation, the person would close down. And they would begin to beat themselves up, you know, with their thoughts and their words. Like, you know, I can't do anything right. I don't know this will ever get done. And just so negative, so negative. And I'm actually a person who honest to goodness, has never, I don't think ever given in to pessimism or seen things negative, even in the worst scenarios. And I'll just tell you honestly, if you get rid of this thing tonight, it's going to change the way you see life. And so I've gone through some horrific things, as bad as anybody in this room. And because I've learned to lean on the Lord and I've learned to see things from God is bigger than everything perspective, how can you be but optimistic if you know God? And the more you know God, the more optimistic you are, because you know how very, very big he is and how powerful he is. So, you know, even when I've gone through some horrible things, like when my daughter died, it hit me hard, no question about it. But the first thing I did was thank the Lord that he was real and she was in heaven. And then the next thing I did was to thank the Lord that he would get us through this, and somehow he was greater than, you know, how horrible this was and what my brain was telling me. But someone else, who, especially if you have this spirit of negative, you know, pessimism, you're going to think it's over. There's no hope. Same thing. You can look at a marriage. You can look at, think about it. It's two different views. You know, pessimistic is always seeing what is wrong and what's going to go wrong. And think about it. You're not just born thinking like that. You have been discouraged and put down, and you have been targeted by the enemy to make you see everything through negativity, okay? And I really believe to truly be not delusional, but a true optimist, or somebody who sees things through how big God is and that we have eternal salvation. See, no matter what happens to me, because I really know Jesus Christ as Lord for real, the worst thing that happens to me is I go to heaven. If you get that, my fear of death is gone, you know. And then when you really know God more, you realize he's in charge of helping you through this or helping you through that. And he is bigger than anything that comes your way. And it's just real. So I'm praying tonight that Holy Spirit will show you areas where you live in pessimism. Now, if you don't know Christ, you know, you could be an optimistic person. But it's just based on your trying not to face reality. Because honestly, without Christ, a lot of things are pretty rotten, you know, and things can be difficult. So what happened to me is this person, at first I almost judge it, like, why can't this person ever think positive? Why can't this person turn around their attitude? They really don't even have that big of a problem, you know, and then that's kind of judgmental. So when I went to sleep later that night, a really strange thing happened to me. I woke up, I couldn't go to sleep because I was having all these thoughts about how overwhelming things were. And I began to see everything through the eyes of I can't do this, and discouragement, and how are we ever going to get all of this done, and how is God really going to open these doors? And it was amazing how quickly, when those thoughts flood you, how quickly you lose all of your peace. And I had this peace even when this was going on, because I knew I was kind of in a God showing me something kind of moment, because you can't really have compassion unless you understand something. Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus came as a man, there's a lot of reasons why God came as a man. And if you get in Hebrews, you can get into the really deep, deep reasons why Jesus Christ had to come as a man, why God had to come in a human body. And in Hebrews, it tells us he could only redeem mankind by coming as a man, because God gave the planet to Adam and to mankind. Satan stole it through deception and through Adam's disobedience, and therefore Satan had authority and control over man. And so Jesus Christ had to come back as a man and win back, as the second Adam, the Bible says, what the first Adam gave over to the enemy. And so he had to come as a man, because one thing about God, when he sets up rules and when he sets up ways he does things, he changes not. God is not really maybe I missed it. Maybe I was wrong. Man, I should have. I mean, God is right. I mean, if you want to live a life in freedom, recognize, first of all, God is right. And wherever you don't agree with him, either you don't understand what he's saying or you've just been so deceived. But if you really want to live a life totally seeing things correctly and where there's a lot of peace, you have to agree with God, okay? No matter what society in the world says. But you also have to have the heart of God, not a self-righteous. God could be self-righteous because he is in himself righteous, amen? But nobody else can be self-righteous because we are not righteous in ourselves. But even in his self-righteousness, because he's righteous in his righteousness, he understands everything about us. And he's amazing. I mean, our God is so forgiving and amazing. I'm just, oh, wow, what a God. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, I have this peace. So I kind of know I'm not totally out of God's will, and his spirit hasn't left me, and I'm not losing my mind. And I was very thankful. So I had this peace even when I'm having this unrest. I'm going, what is going on? And then the Lord began to speak to me. He goes, you are experiencing what people who do not have peace that passes understanding have, whether they are poor and trying to figure out how to pay the bills, or whether they are wealthy and trying to figure out how this is going to be done and that is going to be done and how they're going to take care of this at work. And all of a sudden, God began to give me compassion for people, not just who are hurting and have had a terrible time in life and are beat down, but he began to give me, maybe for the first time, an understanding and compassion for people who are educated, people who have come from great families, people who have good jobs, but they still don't walk in peace with God. It doesn't matter. When the enemy can take your peace, it doesn't matter how much money you have and how nice a car you drive, or how great your education is. Because when you don't have peace, Satan is in charge of your mind with torment. And you can look at all the drug abuse and all the alcohol abuse and all the people chasing after anything, even delusion and fantasy and pornography and everything else, to try to stop from having to think about all their problems. So that was kind of cool to actually start to get compassion for people who have problems that some of us would say, well, you know, just, why don't you, all you got to do is pay for this, or all you have to do is that. It has nothing to do with that.